glad I can testify and I can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And He is a good God. He's wonderful tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and take your copy of the Word of God and go to the book of Mark tonight. The book of Mark, chapter number 2. Give you the thought the Lord's laid upon my heart for this evening. Mark, chapter number 2. And yes, ma'am. Sure. He's worthy of our praise. He's worth praising. He's worth worshiping. Come up here, Corey. Where you at? Got your brother this morning. You wasn't in here. You was back there helping the children's church. So tonight's your night. And you got this mic on? Why don't you testify and tell them what happened to you?
I got saved Wednesday night.
Amen. Yeah. These boys come, and I appreciate that. We talked about it this morning. I was in Sunday school with them this morning. And we was in John chapter number 3, and I was talking about Jesus said it like this. He said, you must be born again. He said, except you be born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. And it's not a matter if you think you are, but you must be. Now, you can only get born again one time. What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. And so it only comes one time. And but you better make sure you know what salvation really is according to the Bible. According, had some doubts, but he got it settled this week, so we praise the Lord for it. So that's two in the same household this week, praise the God. And that helped Brother Chris. Even meanness back there got the smiling this week, praise the Lord. And what's born of the flesh is flesh. We'll leave it like that. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we'll leave it right there. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. There's nothing like watch somebody come give their life to the Lord and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate these young men and of course, Miss Jacob and Hannah just joined the church. They joined by way of baptism. So we're going to get together. We're going to have a few to baptize here coming up. So I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. Mark chapter number 2, when you find your place, if you're willing and able, I want to ask you to stand, and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter number 2, find verse number 1. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1 tonight. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. If you're there and you're with me this evening, would you let in on my sin? Amen. The Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum. And after some days it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know, here's the purpose, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, the Bible says, not tomorrow, not next week, not some other time, but immediately, he arose, took up the bed, and went forth, before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Lord, I thank you for what I feel in my heart. Lord, I'm grateful for a place, Lord, where we can come tonight and we can worship you in spirit and in truth, where the Word of God is supreme. And I thank you that there's still a crowd around that's hungering for the things of God, hungering for the things of righteousness. And Lord, there's an eagerness, Lord, to grow closer to you. And I do pray, Lord, I pray you do a work in the hearts of your people tonight. I pray, God, may you do a work in the hearts of, and do the work of, in Freedom Baptist Church tonight. Lord, I pray that we'll not be the same as a result. Lord, I pray if there's one here that does not know you, most of all, I especially lift them up to you. Pray you'd speak to them in a way that only you can. God, may hold time, Holy Ghost conviction fall from heaven. God, deal with their hearts and may their eyes be open and they see the reality of where they stand. And God, should they be lost tonight, I pray they get saved, for it's everlasting too late. Lord, give me an unction to preach with. I pray you give me a fresh touch and a fresh anointing. Lord, take this unworthy vessel, use it for thy glory. Lord, I commend myself into thy hands. Lord, use me however you desire to use me, that thou will get glory. And Lord, we'll thank you ahead of time for what you're about to do. It's in Jesus' high and holy name we do humbly pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated this evening. Here in Mark chapter number 2, we find the Lord Jesus is in a place called Capernaum. It was here in Capernaum where we see that the Lord was doing a work. God was moving. God was working here in this place. And I want to say this, that the work of God that was going on here, it was not because of the place. That's not the reason that the work of God was taking place, but the reason the work of God was taking place was because who was there? It was none other than Lord Jesus. Jesus was moving. Jesus was working. And the Bible says that Jesus was in the house. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I don't know about you, but I like it when Jesus gets in the house. Amen. I mean, I appreciate you being here tonight, and it's good to see you. And I hope you're just as happy to see me as I am to see you. But hear me now, whether you're here or whether I'm here, that's not really what's important. But whether he's here or not, that makes all the difference in the world. And so the Bible says that Jesus was in the house. And what I like about it, verse number 1, it says that it was noise that he was in the house. By the way, when the Lord shows up and when the Lord begins to move and when the Lord begins to work, could I say there's going to be some noise? Amen. That's why I don't like it quiet, because when it gets quiet, that means something's off, friend. When the Lord's in the house, there's going to be some noise. When God moves, when God shows up, there's going to be some noise. And there ought to be some noise. There ought to be some noise that Jesus is in the house. When God shows up and moves around here, there ought to be noise, not just in here, but there ought to be noise across this town as to what Jesus is doing in the house. And the reason that some places there's no noise going on is because the presence of God is not there. It's not real in that place. You say, I thought the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is. But hear me now, I read my Bible. There's been times where you see the Lord show up in a place and they run him out of town, and they'll get rid of him. Hear me now, I'm afraid that's what's happening in a lot of our churches today. Amen. I've been in some places and some meetings before when the Spirit of God begins to move and begins to stir, and people begin to take notice to who's there. And some people, they don't like it, and they try to shut it down real quick. I'll say this to you tonight, you'll never be out of the way around here. When you run to Jesus, respond to Jesus, amen. If you feel led to say amen, I promise your preacher ain't going to say nothing in the world to you, amen. Long as it's in order, I get it. There is some that try to do so by putting on a show and draw attention to themselves, but that's not what we're about. But I do believe that when Jesus is in a house, there ought to be some noise that the Lord is in the house. And so the Bible says that it was noise that he was in the house. there was a noise. And in verse number 2, we see that many gathered there together. As a result of the Lord being there, as a result of the noise that was being spread abroad, the Bible says that many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. A crowd has gathered together. Could I say this? When Jesus is in the house, and when there's a noise that Jesus is in the house, there is going to be a crowd soon to follow. Right here is the biblical church growth plan that there's ever been. Get Jesus in the house and get noised about it. Tell everybody about it. And you watch, there will be a crowd. I'm not saying they're going to stay long, but they'll show up. At least for a little bit. There is a crowd. They gather together. And could I say they're not there because they don't have anything to do. They're not there because, you know, it's just by chance or it's just by coincidence. But they have gathered themselves together in this house, in this place, for no other reason than because the Lord is in the house. They've come together to hear what He's got to say. They've come to see what He's going to do. I mean, could you imagine? Who wouldn't want to hear the Word of God preach the Word of God? Huh? I mean, He is the preachers of all preachers. He is the very... Is that not what He says? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He is the living Word of Almighty God. Who wouldn't want to hear the Word preach the Word? And so they've gathered together to hear what the Lord has got to say, to see what the Lord is going to do. And here's what I like about it. In verse number 2, the Bible says that as they've gathered together to hear what the Lord's got to say. In verse number 2, the Bible says that when they gathered together, the Bible says He preached the Word unto them. Could I say it still takes the preaching of the Word of God to get the job done? Somebody ought to say amen right there. I know we're living in a day, in a generation, we're trying to do away with the preaching of the Word of God. We're trying to, you know, remove it and replace it with this, that, and another. We're trying to do away with, you know, just old-time preaching, and we're trying to substitute it for a new age singing and all this nonsense that's going on. And hey, y'all know me. Y'all know I ain't against singing. I love good singing. I love to hear it. But hear me now. There is no substitute for the preached Word of God. We're going to sing around here, but hear me now. We're going to major on Bible preaching. He said, I chose the foolishness of preaching. He didn't say, I chose the foolishness of singing. He said, I chose the foolishness of preaching. And I just want to go on. It's feeling preachified in here right now. I just want to go on record and say it like this. Thank God for old time, Holy Ghost filled, old fashioned. I'm talking about, I'm a fan of red hot Bible preaching. I know it's outdated in this day and hour. I know we're in a generation nobody wants to hear it. They say, preacher, you can't act like that no more. You can't talk like that no more. Y'all not be like that no more. We need something that's easy. We need something that's less offensive, and we need a little bit more of this, and on and on and on. But I want to say, friend, God didn't call me to do that. He called me to preach. And as long as I got breath in my lungs, I got a voice to say it with, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to rear back, and I'm going to try to preach the best I know how, like my coattails on fire, and preach the Word of God, because it still takes the preacher of the Word of God. And I'll say this, thank God there's still some men around that'll stand up in a liberal, God-hating society and still get enough boldness about them to preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen for preaching. Amen, friend. Y'all know me. I got a problem with that crowd. They want to hoot and holler during the singing, and then a man of God get up and go to preaching, and it's like crickets in the house of God. Something wrong there, friend. It didn't say He sung unto them, but He preached unto them. Thank God for preaching. He preaches the Word. And by the way, notice what He preached. He preached the Word. He didn't preach his thoughts. He didn't preach his opinions. And he could have. He's the only one that could have preached his thoughts, because his thoughts are pure and they're right. And they are the Word of God. Look up in here, man of God. If you're going to preach, hey, don't get in a pulpit and tell us your thoughts, your opinions, or what you think about this or that. We don't care what you think. We don't need your opinions. If you're going to rear back and preach, preach what He called you to preach, and preach the book. Preach the Word. Hallelujah. He said, preach the Word unto them. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that there's these four men. You know the text. You know the story. And these four men, they have a burden for their friend. This one that is sick of the palsy. And we see that they were so committed to getting him to Jesus. Watch this now. They were willing to do whatever it takes to get him there. There's not much we know about these men. We don't know their names. We don't know their background. We don't know their age. We don't know, we don't know where they work. We don't know what their favorite hobby is. We don't know what their favorite football team is. We don't know who their favorite athlete is. Somebody else say amen right there. I mean, we don't know any of those things about these individuals. Here's what we do know, is we know that they were convinced that this man named Jesus was able to help not only them, but could help their friend. And they were convinced that if they got their friend to where Jesus was, that Jesus could do for their friend what they couldn't do for him, or he for himself. They believed Jesus could heal him. They believed Jesus could fix him. They believed that Jesus could do what was needing to be done in his life. And so they were so convinced that they were willing to do whatever it took to get him, this man who was sick of the palsy, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I like about these men. They wouldn't go allow anything to get in their way or to stop them. Amen. Nothing. I believe that's clear from the text. I mean, they get there and the crowds, I mean, there's a big old massive crowd, and they think, well, you know, the doors, you can't fit. There ain't enough chairs. There ain't enough room. The door, you can't even get in the door. It would have been easy for them to say, well, we tried. No, these boys, they didn't give up. You know what they did? They climbed on top of the roof. They said, we're going to get him there. We're that convinced that Jesus could heal him. Could I say we're living in a day where it's becoming harder and harder to see folks saved? Do you not agree? It's coming harder and harder to see. That's why we've been in meeting all week, and night after night we've watched people come and I'm talking about under conviction and crying out to God for salvation. And now everybody's talking about it. Why? Because that's a rarity in our day. Now there was a day. Some of you older ones, you'll testify to it. There was a day that wasn't a rarity. There was a day when you came to church excited just to see what God was going to do. Seems like those days have been so long ago. That's why it's rare that we're seeing people come to know the Lord. And I want to say this. I know we're living in a hard day. I understand that. I know we're living in a hard day and hard times, and well, as we preach this morning, hard hearts. I understand the day we're living in. But just to clear the air in here, that's still no excuse for you and I to lessen up on what God's called us to do. Huh? I'm sick and tired of this, and I've been there, friend. I'm preaching to me tonight. I'm sick and tired of hearing these people say, well, that's just the day we're living in. As if that's an excuse for you just to give up. To quit preaching. To quit witnessing. It's okay to do it because it's a hard day with people that's got hard hearts. I understand that, but that's no excuse for you and I giving up on our people and getting them to Jesus so that Jesus could heal them. I want to give you a couple of things from the text real quickly tonight, and we'll be done. We'll go to the house. Number one, I want you to notice the obstacles. Notice the obstacles in the text. Notice what the Bible says. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. He preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Watch verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. In other words, there was something in their way. Something preventing them from getting to Jesus. Something that was making it difficult. Can I say this to you tonight? If you're going to get folk to Jesus, and you're going to win those in your family, those you work with, those in your life, if you're going to win them to the Lord, you might as well mark it down and rest assured tonight, there are going to be obstacles that you're going to have to face. There's going to be things that are constantly being placed in the way to try to prevent you from getting them unto Jesus. Sometimes it cannot just be, and everybody, when you think of things like that, we instantly like to think about the devil and say, well, the devil did it. And we blame the devil for everything. But how many of you know sometimes it can be good things that get in the way? What's it say in the text? There's a crowd that's gathered around to hear Jesus preach the word. I wouldn't consider that a bad thing, would you? I'd consider that a good thing. Yet that still is something that is in their way of them getting this one sick of the palsy unto the Lord. Sometimes good things can be in the way. Bottom line is this. If you're gonna win somebody to Jesus, you're going to win your friends to Jesus, you're going to win the world to Jesus, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a difficult task. There's going to be obstacles that is going to get in your way. You say, And by the way, I want you to notice these men, even when they faced those obstacles, they didn't allow the obstacles to cause them to quit. And you say, how in the world does that sounds good and all, but how do you constantly just keep going when there's just constant obstacles in your way of you getting to where you need to get to with the Lord and getting others around you there as well? I mean, you know, how many of you would agree it's discouraging when every time you take a step toward the Lord, here's another wall right in front of you, and it's like it knocks you back 2 or 3 steps. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what it, anybody ever, you come, you get right with the Lord, and you get your heart right, and then all of a sudden it seems like you have the worst week at work that you've ever had in 10 years? Huh? There's going to be obstacles. It's going to be difficult, and that can become aggravating. That can become discouraging. What do you do to continue to deal with the obstacles and work your way around that? What's it going to take for you to continue on? Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take a caring heart. That's about 3 of you. I say it's going to take a caring heart. You know why they continue to struggle and to fight and to work their way around the obstacle? Here's why. Because they cared about that man. They cared about their friend. They cared about the one who was in a sick condition. They cared about the one who was in a crippled condition. They cared about the one that was in a lost condition. They had a heart for him. They cared. And that's the only way that they continued to deal with the obstacles is because they cared. And hear me now, if you're going to continue to carry the gospel in this day and in this hour and make a difference for the glory of God in those lives, that people who is in your life, if you're going to do it, you're going to continue to work your way around the obstacles, you're going to have a caring heart to do so. If you don't care, you're going to quit. You mark it down. If you don't care, you are going to quit. You're going to have to figure out a way to do something a little bit different. You're going to have to understand. I mean, you know, they knew what it was like to go to where he was at. We're going to go. We're going to take him right through the door. We'll walk him right in there. But the door now is filled, and you can't go that way. Guess what? You're going to have to figure out another way. You don't have to figure out another way to get a hold of them. Now, listen, I'm not talking about, and I know somebody's going to say, what a preacher done saying, we need to change. We need to change your Bible and change everything to win the Lord. No. There's a song in our hymn book that I don't agree with at all. It goes something like this. Win the lost at any cost. Now, that's a good idea, and I get what they're saying, but there's just some things that we're not going to give up, all right? We're not going to change the Bible. We're not, amen. You can't, hey, if you've got to change your Bible to get a crowd to come to the house of God, you ain't won them, they've won you. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And it's the way it goes down. But what I'm saying is this, I'm saying there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be things get in your way, but you're going to have to heart, enough heart that cares enough about people to continue to deal with the obstacles in order to get them to where Jesus is. The obstacles, the press. Could I say this? You know what we could need? You know what we could sure enough use a whole lot more of in the church today? You know what that is? Some determination. These old boys had some determination, no doubt. Now I'm going to tell you, God help us. We're a people nowadays. I mean, we'll quit over anything. Well, it's raining outside. Ain't going to work today. Huh? Well, it's too hot. I don't believe I'll go to church today. What about this? I got company coming in. I can't go back to church tonight. Huh? We'll quit over anything. Just let anything get in our way. God, help us to have some more determination. God, help us to care about others, to get enough determination to work our way around the obstacles that we may face. I see the obstacles. I see the correct understanding. Number two, you say, what are you talking about, the correct understanding? Notice in verse number 4. The Bible says, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Watch this. And when they had broken it up. Now, get this scene in your mind. By the way, this ain't some story, some fairy tale. It's a reality, all right? It really happened. These old boys really climbed up on the roof and started busting up the roof to get this old boy down to where Jesus was. They broke it up, the Bible says. They understood. Watch it. You say, what are you talking about? They had the right understanding. Here's what I mean by that. They understood that they could replace the roof. They understood that they could replace the tiles. They understood they'd get somebody to put some new shingles on the roof and, fix the roof. But they can't get this old boy out of hell if he dies lost. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to tear the roof off if that's what it takes. We got to get him to where Jesus is. I'm going to tell you why we don't see more people come to Christ and why we're having a hard time of winning people to the Lord in this day and hour. It's because we don't have a correct understanding. We're a generation that's more interested in our own things, in our own stuff, in our own head, man. Somebody, you ought to say amen or oh me or something right there because you know I'm telling it right. We're more, hey, it's my time. It's my money. It's my life. I can live it how I want to live it. And you know, on and on and hey, look up in here. We can replace your money. You can do without your time. You can, I mean, all that stuff, that's not what matters. But hear me now, if your kids die lost and go to hell, you'll never get that bag. If your family dies lost without the Lord, you'll never get that bag. And I'm telling you, there ain't no amount of money and there ain't enough time in the world that's worth sacrificing for the souls of men. Somebody ought to say amen. They had a correct understanding. God help us to have a correct biblical understanding for the lost world we're living in and start caring about their souls. They had a correct understanding. By the way, I want to say this. I'm thankful that when I was in a bad place, when I was in a bad way, when I couldn't do anything for myself, I sure am glad, Brother John, there were some people that wasn't too hung up on their stuff and their time and their money to reach out and share the gospel with me. I'm glad that there was a man of God who, when I couldn't help myself and I didn't know how to study the Bible, I'm glad he was studying. I'm glad he was praying. And I'm glad he was able to stand up and preach the truth unto me out of where I got born again. I'm glad that there was somebody that wasn't too hung up in their stuff that they didn't care about me. And I bless the Lord for them. God help us to have a correct understanding. They had a correct understanding. And so I see the obstacles. I see their understanding. And then lastly, I give you this and we're done. I see their faith. Verse number 5. The Bible says when Jesus saw, watch this, their faith. Didn't say when Jesus saw his faith. It says when Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he saw their faith. Here's what I want you to notice. These men had such a faith that it affected this man. And the outcome and his eternity because of their faith. Now hear me. I understand that when it comes down to it, you can't make nobody get saved. You can preach till you're blue in the face. You can bring them to church. You can do all you want to do. But when it comes down to it, I understand that it's still an individual choice. But what kind of difference do you think that you and I could make and others around us in their life? What kind of difference do you think we could make if we had the right kind of faith? If we had the right kind of heart and we cared. Notice this. He says, when Jesus saw their faith. I think this is so key and critical. He wasn't talking about their faith in the man. Sometimes I think we get this part twisted and we think, well, you know, they're talking about that this. We just believe that this man can be healed. Well, sure he can. But why do you believe that man can be healed? See, their faith was not in that man. Their faith was in the Lord Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith wasn't in their friend. Their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know it's easy to get hung up and get your faith? You know, how many's ever heard something like this? Well, I just believe that boy right there, he's just going to be a good one. Or that girl right there, she's just going to be a good young lady. She's going to be a good woman one of these days. You know? Well, I hope you're right. But I'm going to tell you, friend, worst thing you can do is put your faith in man. Why? They're going to break your heart. They're going to let you down. About the time you think they're going to do it good, they're going to take a wrong turn and, I mean, just make you look like a fool. If you're a mom and a daddy in here, you ought to say amen because you've experienced it. Yeah. Lord help. I've had to hear my boy. About time I've done it. I've caught myself. I don't care. I don't, I try not to brag on mine too much anymore because that's bit me in the hind end too many times already. Yeah, and boys is all right. They won't lie. And I mean, I don't get that out of my mouth and I catch them in a lie. They'll lie. Quit putting your faith in them. They had their faith in the right one. It wasn't man, it was the Lord. Get your faith in the Lord. Quit worrying about, well, you know, they've just gone so far, they'll never have. You know, why you even got your faith in them anyways? Get your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the obstacles. I see their understanding and then I see their faith. Now here's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. And I'm done here. Here's why I'm preaching. It's because if you and I don't get serious about winning lost people to the Lord, you think it's bad right now, it's only going to get worse. And we are nearing a season of revival, if you will. God's moving, God's a stirring, and I thank the Lord for it. But now, if you and I don't get concerned enough and we don't care about our neighbor and our friends and our family to the point that we're willing to go do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus. Hey, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? These old boys had it settled in their heart. We're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we're going to get you there. Because we got enough faith that that man, he can help you. He can help you. How many of you believe that Jesus could sure enough help the world today? Yeah. How many believe Jesus can help your family, can help your co-workers, can help your... Amen. I mean, he's... Then what are you doing to get them to him? Don't sit there and say, oh yeah, Jesus is the answer. But then you ain't doing nothing about it to get them to him. Amen. Don't tell me Jesus is the, you know, mamas and daddies try to tell their kids, you know, well, Jesus, he's, you need to follow him. He's the answer, but then you don't take him to church. You sure you believe what you say? These men had a correct understanding. They was willing to sacrifice whatever it took, and they was willing to deal with whatever obstacle was in their way to get their friend to Jesus because they had enough faith that Jesus could heal them. I'm going to tell you what's going to make the difference. And I'm going to tell you what's going to cause a revival to take place around here. It's when you and I, when Freedom Baptist Church gets enough burden for lost souls that we get to the point where we're willing to sacrifice whatever we got to sacrifice, do whatever we've got to do, face whatever we've got to face, and battle with whatever we got to battle. But we are going to get them to Jesus. Amen. That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. So here's the invitation tonight. What are you doing right now? What are you doing to get others to Jesus? How many phone calls did you make this week? How many people did you talk to? How many people did you invite to church? What did you do in your own family to try to get them to the Lord this week? We're in a meeting right now. That's unlike anything I've ever experienced since I've been in the ministry. And really, since I've been a young man, it's been many, many years ago since I've even experienced something like this. Why would you not want to get them there? It's what I've been trying to tell everybody. Get every lost person you know and get them to this meeting. And I know. I know we got stuff going on. I get it. I understand it. I live in the same world you live in. God help us to have a correct understanding. There'll be more. All this stuff's going to be there. Plenty of time. It ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you to miss your favorite episode or whatever it is you watch. I don't even know what the TV shows are nowadays. We watch Chicago PD at my house. That's it. That's all it was. It'll be all right. Get the correct understanding. It's more important things. Men's souls hang in the balance of eternity. God help us to start caring and having the right understanding. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray, may you stir within the hearts of your people tonight. God, may we be a people that get a burden. God, may we be a people that start caring enough. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a soul in here that don't have lost family, don't have lost friends, live neighbors. I'm talking about live around people, work around people who are lost and on their way to hell. If they were to die today, they would die and go to hell. And day after day, we walk by them. Day after day, we just go through this life. And there is no concern. There is no burden. God, help us. I pray you would convict hearts tonight. And we would become a people that would get concerned and get enough care for others around us to do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus. I love you tonight. I'm glad that we've got a God who's in the saving business, has the power to save, has the power to forgive sins, to do whatever's needing to be done in their life. God, help us to be a church that'll do whatever it takes to get them there. There's one here tonight that is not saved. I pray, God, they'd come and they'd get saved before it's everlasting too late. You're a good God. And I want to say tonight, Lord, you're worth the struggle to get to. I love you tonight. Thank you for moving among us. Thank you for moving in the hearts of your people. Glorify thyself during this invitation. Whatever needs that are represented, God, I pray you meet them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.